من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in person and those watching us online. We would like to thank you for joining us for our two-day seminar that is happening, inshallah, this week and next Wednesday with Sayyid Ali Jafri as we prepare for Shahar Ramadan, getting some guidance from Al-Munajat Al-Sha'baniya. Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Jama'ah for some recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم رجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا صدق الله العلي العظيم صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you, Brother Ali. Inshallah, another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, once again. Dear Sayyid Ali Jafari, thank you all for joining us. Inshallah, tonight's program will be a two-day seminar tonight and next Wednesday. So inshallah, we ask you all to please join us next Wednesday as well at 7 o'clock. Inshallah, this Friday will also be another program. Inshallah, we are commemorating Wilada and also commemorating the Islamic revolution, inshallah. Inshallah, for tonight's program, alhamdulillah, I have the blessing to know Sayyid Ali Jafari and a lot of other brothers and sisters and community members know him. But for those that don't, Sayyid Ali Jafari was born in New York and he grew up in Michigan. He attended Michigan State University and the University of Texas School of Law. In 2013, he moved to Qom with his family, where he is currently continuing his studies. Inshallah, if you could please help me welcome him with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد Brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته So it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here in Dearborn in the great state of Michigan and in particular in this community and I see a lot of familiar faces I begin by thanking the organizers, thanking Sheikh Osama, my teacher, and asking permission from the brothers and sisters and my dear teacher, Sayyid Adil Makki, Brother Nasser, who was my teacher in the Holy Quran when I was a child. I ask your permission to begin with the salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa
So I know it's not easy being here on a weeknight. Right, we all have things to do. But it speaks to your sincerity. It speaks to your ikhlas that here on a weeknight, you've come to try to better yourself, to try to prepare yourself for Shahr Ramadan. Brothers and sisters, when we have a big event in our life, like a wedding, like a big exam, think about how much we prepare. If I have to think about my wedding, you know, weeks in advance, months in advance, guest list, what's the menu gonna be? Who's gonna talk? Do the napkins match the chair covers? Right? We get into the most intricate details. Why? Because it's in a big event. You have to take the ACT, the SAT, MCAT, LSAT, whatever test you gotta take. How far in advance do we prepare? How much do we prepare? Right? We know everything that's gonna come. Why? Because what's gonna happen, what's coming is something that is gonna have a serious impact on my life. Now when it comes to our afterlife, the question that I ask myself first and foremost, and tonight this is a reminder for myself first and foremost, is that do I give that same attention to Shahr Ramadan? Do I give that same attention to a night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, خَيْرُ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ is greater than 1,000 months, 80 years. Do I give it that same attention? Do I prepare for it? Or do I just scroll through my Instagram the day of, you know, the 19th of Ramadan and say, oh yeah, I should take a ghusl. It says that, you know, I can do, you know, read these chapters tonight. Right? Is that the extent that we prepare? So what we're trying to do tonight, number one, is to remind ourselves, I'm not gonna be, you know, reinventing the wheel here. It's things that you already know, especially people in this community. Right, remind ourselves, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتُ ذِكْرَ, there's a benefit in reminding, and then motivate ourselves a little bit, okay? To return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? From last Ramadan to this Ramadan, we may have, you know, accumulated some sins. We want to return, we want to do that tawbah, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and prepare for the holy month. Now, one of the keys, and something that I can't give to anybody, it has to come from within, is to want it, to have that will. You gotta wanna be better. And I know I'm speaking to people who wanna be better, because you wouldn't have come here on a Wednesday night if you didn't wanna be better. Spiritual building, self-building, is similar to physical, you know, building. You know, when somebody weightlifts, they go into the weight room, and when you go into a weight room, there's people of all different shapes and sizes. There's people who are, you know, more in shape. There's people who are less in shape. But one thing that you find is that people help each other, right? Oftentimes, you'll see somebody might be smaller, but nobody gives them a hard time. Somebody might be in less shape. Nobody gives them a hard time. They say, hey, man, let me help you out. Or this is how we're going to do it. This is how we should do it. It's the same thing here, right? All of us may be in our different places. Some of you need this much less than someone like me. But what we're here is we're here to help each other. We're here to grow together, right? And what we need is that effort. We need to persevere. It's hard to be here in 2022, a Muslim in America, to come here on a Wednesday night. That's a miracle. SubhanAllah. This is something we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. This is that risk that He's providing us, that spiritual risk that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, right? But now for us to take it to that next level, whoever you are, whatever stage you're at, it takes that perseverance. It's not going to happen by itself. I can't wake up and say, hey, you know what? I want to be able to put up 250 pounds today. What effort have I put in? What work have I put in? Okay, it's the same thing with spiritual building. We might have had some flaws, some shortcomings, right? But what have we done to address those? Okay, so tonight we want to talk a little bit about, you know, how we can go forward and how we can motivate ourselves. Now, to give a little background on the munajat, it's from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Fix this. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And one of the unique points about it is that it is a munajat, it's a supplication that was recited by all of the imams. And it was narrated by many of our great scholars, Sayyid ibn Tawus, Allama Majlisi and Sheikh Abbas Qumi, Muhaddis Qumi and Mafatil Jinnah. This is too close, bro. I got it. I'm sorry. Okay. I feel like I'm talking to this thing here. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so what do our ulama say? What do our great scholars say? So Imam al-Khomeini, this is just a general point when we're looking at supplications. He says the imams taught spiritual truths. Oh man, he was supposed to remind me I'm not doing this. Just somebody stand up and be like, Ali, you're not doing your job. Okay, so Imam al-Khomeini, what does he say? He says the imams taught spiritual truths and divine realities through the tongue of supplication, which we often hurry through and miss. Okay, many of us have read Manajat Shabaniyah. Many of us have read the Akumil. But how much have we sat down and spent some time with it, right? Thought about this line. Let me just think about this a little bit. Right? Sometimes we get so caught up in completing something that we lose focus on actually benefiting. So tonight and next week, I'm not about quantity, I'm about quality. Okay, that's what Islam teaches us, right? That's what Karbala was about. That's what the return of Imam Mahdi is about. It's about quality. So that's how we're going to take a look at this. If we don't finish, it's okay. You guys will finish it, you know, yourselves, inshallah. Another important statement, it comes from the leader, where he said, I asked Imam al-Khomeini which supplication he enjoys the most. He said, Dua Kumail and Munajat Shabaniyah. Establish bonds with these prayers and make our hearts a means towards reaching the highest levels. Imam Khomeini put a lot of emphasis, rahmatullahi alayhi, he put a lot of emphasis on Munajat Shabaniyah. So much so that many commentaries were written on it. So what I'm going to provide tonight is not my own thoughts, inshallah, because that has much less benefit, if any benefit at all. What I'm going to provide are the thoughts of our great scholars. Three scholars in particular. Number one, Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. Number two, Ayatollah Tahriri. And number three, Ayatollah Mujahidi. May Allah protect him and protect them all. And, you know, have mercy on the soul of Ayatollah Misbah. Before I play a short video here where Imam Khomeini goes into the importance of this munajat, I just want to mention a point. And this point is this, that our great ulama, our urafa, they were very careful with their words and their actions. So check out these two pictures. You see here, You see here Ayatollah Shah Abadi on your left, the teacher of Imam Khomeini in spiritual wayfaring, in, you know, akhlaq, in irfana, amali. And you see on the right, Sayyid Ali Qadi Tabatabai, okay? The teacher of Alama Tabatabai in Ayatollah Bahjat. One thing you notice is their hands. You see how careful they have their hands placed right there, right? The ulama, they don't even waste their hand movements. They don't even do something with their hands like, you know, how I do when I'm talking. Okay, they're very careful. And they're that much more careful with their words. So keep that in mind. You know, the great Urafa, they're that much more careful with their word. They're very precise. So keep that in mind when you listen to this next two-minute clip of Imam Khomeini.
مناجات شعبانیه را خوندید بخوانید آقا مناجات شعبانیه از مناجات هایی هست که اگر انسان دنبالش برد و فکر درش بکند انسان را به یه جایی میرسوند اون کسی که این مناجات را گفته و همه ائمه به حسب روایت میخوندن اینها اونهایی بودند که وارسته از همه چیز بودند معزالک اونطور مناجات میکردند برای اینکه خودبین نبودند هرچه بودن اینطور نبوده که خودش را ببیند که حالا من امام صادقم دیگه نه امام صادق مثل اون آدمی که در معصیت غرق است مناجات میکند برای اینکه میبیند خودش هیچ نیست و هرچه هست نقص و هرچه هست از اوست هرچه کمال است از اوست خودش چیزی ندارند هیچ یک چیزی ندارند انبیا هم هیچ نداشتند همه هیچن و اوست فقط همه هم دنبال او هستند همه فطرت ها دنبال او هستند منتها چون ما محجوبیم نمیفهمیم که ما دنبال او هستیم اونهایی که میفهمند اونها وارسته میشند و میرن سراغ همون معنا این کمال انقطاعی که خواستن این کمال انقضا همین است که از همه این چیزهایی که هستش اصلش به کنار باشن.
اللهم صل علی So because, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Usama is not here to make me feel nervous, I just want to mention a story from myself and Sheikh that I think will benefit us tonight. In 2009, I was on a bus with Sheikh Usama in the holy city of Mecca. We were there for Hajj. Just by chance, we met each other there. Or not by chance, actually. And... You know, I was explaining to him how I wanted to go to the Hawza and explaining some of the obstacles that I was facing. And Sheikh Usama said something very profound to me, which I think can benefit us here with this conversation tonight. He said, Ali, you do your responsibility, and then you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we went, and right there in the holy city of Mecca, I signed up for the Hawza. I did my interview, and alhamdulillah, here I am. When it comes to spirituality and self-building, it's the same thing. We should never think that it's because of me. It's because I woke up for Salatul Layl. It's because I gave food to the orphans that now I'm going to get somewhere. That now I'm going to gain this proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is from Him. And the one sentence that I think is really beautiful and really important for us to understand from what Imam al-Khomeini said there, was that he said, this munajat can take you somewhere. Shuma bejai mirasuna, he said. In the words of the Urafa, in somebody like Imam Khomeini, that means that this is going to take you somewhere spiritually. This munajat has that capacity. So before anything, let's make that intention tonight. We say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're making our efforts these next two Wednesdays. But we know it's in your hands. Take us somewhere. Take our hand. You know, Ilahi, Imam Sajjad says, Ilahi albastani khataya thawba madhallati. He says, Allah, I'm wearing these clothes of my sins. وَجَلَلُنِي تُبَعِدَ مِنْكِ لِبَاسَ مَسْكَنِتُهِ وَأَمَاتَ قَلْبِي أَذِيمَ جَنَائِتِ فَأَحِبِي تَوْبَةٍ مِنْكِ You have to bring my heart back alive. You have to clean me. I'm going to do this tawbah, but I need you. Right, we have to start off with this understanding, brothers and sisters. So when I say here, part one, pages 1-3, I'm talking about pages 1-3 from Mafatih al-Jinan with the translation of Sayyid Ali Quli Qaray. If any of you have it, if you don't have it, get it. It's a good translation. If you're, you know, if you need the translation. Okay, so we're going to go through this munajat a little bit. And please remind me when I'm not hitting the clicker. Okay, and my highlights are not showing up there. But khair, inshallah, we'll make that happen for next week. Okay, so the first line, this may be hard for you guys to read without the highlights, but okay, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Okay, the salawat that we recite so often. Okay, two points I want to mention. Number one, this is a prayer that we're starting with that we know is always accepted. Why? Because of the capacity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side. Is Allah able to bless the Holy Prophet and the family of the Holy Prophet, of course. Now, do they have the spiritual capacity to accept that ni'mah, to accept that blessing? Of course they do, right? So, we see from both sides the capacity is there. This is a prayer that's always going to be accepted. And so we have this sandwich hadith. The sandwich hadith is telling us that if you start something with the salawat, you end something with the salawat, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels embarrassed. He feels shy to not accept what's in the middle. Okay, so we're starting here with the salawat. The next we have to think about, the next point I want to mention is that we're sending a gift with immediate benefits to us. Okay? It says, Salatan tagfiru biha dhunubina wa tuslihu biha uyubina. It's a salawat, it's a salat that we are going to be forgiven, our sins are going to be forgiven by it, and our shortcomings are going to be fixed by it. Okay? When you give me a gift, okay, somebody comes and gives me a gift, I feel like, hey, you know what? I want to give them something back, right? And that's me as a regular person. We're all like that. But now imagine the Ahlul Bayt, the perfect human, the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we're sending a gift to him, you don't think he wants to give something back to you? Right, we have stories where some of the, you know, some of our greats, somebody comes, they come in the dream of someone and they say, you know, somebody says, hey, how's it going over there? He says, alhamdulillah, you know, Imam Ridha, he came and he visited me. And he said, because I visited him 74 times, he's going to come 73 more times. SubhanAllah, this is how the Ahlul Bayt are, right? So if we send the salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa jil farajam, there's going to be immediate benefits to us, right? And there's going to be long-term benefits to us. So this is how we start off the munajah, okay? Now the next line here, it says, إِذَا نَادَيْتُكَ وَأَسْمَ النِّدَاءِ إِذَا نَادَيْتُكَ وَأَقْبِلْ عَلَيَّ إِذَا نَاجَيْتُكَ. Yeah, wasma du'ai idha da'awtuk. Excuse me. Wasma nida'i idha nadaytuk wa aqbil alayya idha ma najaytuk. Okay, so in English we'll say, and hear my appeal when I call to you, a call. Okay, and listen to my call when I cry to you, a cry, and turn to me when I entreat to you. Okay, so what does this mean? What is the difference between a du'a, right, and a nada' and a najwa? Okay, so some say that, okay, when we say dua, we mean like a general call. We're calling someone who's near. And when we say a nada, we're talking about someone who's far potentially. Like we're saying, oh Allah, you're so high, you're so great, right? He's far in his maqam, okay? And when we're talking about a najwa or a munajat, like we're talking about here tonight, we're talking about a secret whisper between two that a third person can't hear, okay? So it's very intimate. It's like what I would call a heart-to-heart. Man, I'm not pushing these buttons. You guys got to help me out with that. Ali Jomar, that's your job, bro. If you see me, just stand up. You know? Okay. So Ayatul Tahriri has a really nice point where he says that here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us the hint that he is going to reflect our attentiveness. However attentive we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, whatever level we're at here, he is going to reflect that. So what we want to do is we want to get to that level where we're having that whispered prayer with Allah. We're having that munajat with Allah, right? So we can get that same attention back from him. And now this next line, you know, if you're going to take one thing away, maybe take this line from tonight, okay? فَقَدْ حَرَبْتُ إِلَيْكَ فَقَدْ حَرَبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَوَقَفْتُ بَيْنِ يَدَيْكَ. Okay, he says, I'm fleeing. For certainly I flee to you as one seeking refuge, and stand before you as one who lowers his sights before you. Brothers and sisters, seeking refuge, a refugee. What is a refugee fleeing from? Right? Is a refugee fleeing because he has a bad day? No. Is he fleeing because there's something bothering him that's small? No. Someone who's a refugee, someone who's seeking refuge, it's a desperate act. What we're doing here tonight is when we're reading this munajat, we're spiritually fleeing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a desperate act. Allah, look at me. Look at my state. Right? I need you. If without you, I cannot fix myself. I've proven that time and time again that I can't fix myself. I've proven that for X amount of years that I can't fix myself. I need you to fix me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I need you to take my hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Ayatul Tahriri here, he says that, or it might be Ayatul Misbah, excuse me. He says that we're spiritually fleeing from shaitan. Brothers and sisters, you have an enemy. I have an enemy. Right? We got to keep that in mind. Sometimes we go through life thinking everybody loves us. Everybody doesn't love you. Shaitan doesn't love you. Okay? We have to keep that in mind. We have to recognize that we have an enemy who's out to get us. And he's serious. And he has an army. Okay? Where's your army? Your army is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your support is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We're fleeing to him. We're saying, Allah, take my hand. Okay? And the other thing is stagnation. Right? Ayatul Misbah says we're fleeing from stagnation. We have beautiful people in this room. We have people that I've known for my whole life. I know how the caliber of people in this room, right? But sometimes, and I speak to myself first and foremost, sometimes we're okay with where we're at. You say, alhamdulillah, I'm doing my wajibat. Well, I miss Salah sometimes, or I raise my voice towards my wife sometimes, or, you know, I'm disrespectful towards my kids sometimes. I'm speaking to myself first. Right? We're okay with where we're at, though. You say, alhamdulillah, I made it. I'm still Muslim, you know? I'm still going to the Azardari of Imam Hussein al-Islam. Right, no, we have an opportunity, brothers and sisters, that we're not going to get back. This Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us that opportunity to take it to that next level. Okay? There's this saying, some say hadith, some say saying, Hasanat al-Abrar Sayyat al-Muqarrabin, that the good deeds of, let's say, the good people are like the bad deeds of those who are really close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Meaning that there's always room to grow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite, and we have an infinite opportunity to grow closer to Him, inshallah. So let's take advantage of that. I'm moving on here. I'm going down. To the middle of the page here. Okay. وَقَدْ جَرَتْ مَقَادِيرُكَ عَلَيَّ يَا سَيِّدِي. You were saying, my master. And if you're asking why, if you're wondering why I can't, I'm not going through the whole thing, just in the interest of time, I'm just picking some highlighted, you know, parts which are not highlighted on your screen, it looks like. But we're at that second paragraph, start of the second paragraph, where it says, my master, your ordainments have taken effect concerning that which will happen to me to the end of my lifespan. We're talking about Laylatul Qadr, right? The night of ordainment, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who we're trying to gain closeness to, is the one who controls everything for you. Just think about how we are sometimes at work, unfortunately, right? We're trying to make that good impression. We're trying to, you know, the boss walks by the office, you know, we take our feet off the table and we sit up straight. You know, we make sure, you know, you can't see what we were looking at on the computer, right? We're trying to make that good impression, right? We're trying to gain closeness to someone. But this is Allah controls everything for you. He controls your next breath, if you're going to get it or not. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think that we're independent, right? That we're not relying on Him moment to moment. We're not independent of Him. We're not independent of His plan. We need to gain that closeness to Him. And I'm just reminded of, an experience that I had and how sometimes we think things are in our own hand, which was that at the beginning of COVID, and, you know, 2 years ago, I was here in America, and I was teaching a class to some close family and friends. And at the end of that class, I said, you know, whoever gets the highest score on the test, and, you know, the sister who did is actually here tonight, I said, whoever gets the highest score on that test, I will make ziyarah for them the next time I go to Karbala on their behalf. You know, did I say inshallah? I'm not sure. You know, but I'd become so accustomed that every year, you know, I live in Qom, every year I go and make ziyarah to Karbala and Najaf. You know, that's what I've been doing for X amount of years. You know, it never occurred to me that, hey, look, this is all in Allah subhanahu's hands. Or maybe I was ghafil of it for that moment, that it's in Allah's hands. You know, and subhanAllah, you know, I held up my part of the bargain on making ziyarah for those individuals in Mashhad, but I still haven't been back to Karbala. You know, and Allah knows it's in Allah's hands if I'll ever make it again, inshallah. Right? So we have to remember this, that everything's in His hands. Now going down towards the bottom, it says, Ilahi, إن حرمتني فمن ذا الذي يرزقني. It says, oh Allah, if you deprive me, then who will provide for me? One point here is we're saying ilahi, right? We're saying my ilah. When I talk to my son, I say Muhammadi, say my Muhammad, right? But I don't say that to your son, I don't say that to your son, I don't say that to other people's children. I don't have that same close, intimate relationship. So when we're saying ilahi, we're saying we have this intimate relationship. And one thing that's really nice about this line that Ayatul Tahriri says is he says, look, we're calling Him this name in sifa, Ya Sayyidi Ya Mawlai, like we do even in Dua Kumail. He says we're trying to bring about that reality. It might not be that it's actually the case. We're trying to like speak it into existence. You know? So we're saying, Ilahi, oh my God. Right? We're trying to make sure that we speak it into existence, that I have nothing else that I'm worshiping. I don't worship, you know, liberalism. I don't worship democracy. I don't worship all these other idols that we have around us today. Right? I don't worship my nafs. No, I worship my ilah. I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, that munajat, half of a munajat is just trying to get out of these dirty clothes. Right? This is the words of Ayatul Misbah. Right? So we're just trying to change ourselves when we're going through this munajat. Now here he says, if you deprive me, then who will provide for me that risk? One quick point here is that when I say risk, what comes to your mind? If all that comes to your mind or my mind is my daily bread, is, you know, what's my paycheck, is, you know, my house and my car, then we have to check our worldviews, okay? When we look at the language of the Ahlul Bayt, the language of the Holy Quran, we say, Allahumma arzuqni tawfiq ta'ah. Oh Allah, give me the risk that is the tawfiq, the ability, the capacity, the blessings to be able to do ita'ah, to be able to worship, to be able to serve you, to be able to, what's the word in English? Obey you, okay? Allahumma arzuqni shafa'at al-Husayn yawm al-wurud. Right? This is a risk, the shafa'at of Hussein. So when we check, look at yourself. Right now, you are the risk of Allah is that we are here, even though you're stuck listening to me. But you're here with the intention of benefiting from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Subhanallah. This is risk. This is huge risk. This is better than any financial risk that you could have gotten today. If I had came and cut you a check for $100,000, that's worth much less than this risk that Allah gave you that you're here tonight, thinking about Imam Ali's words on a Wednesday night. Okay? Okay, next. The next line I want to talk about here is just at the end here, the last line, إِلَهِ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ غَذَبِكَ وَحُلُولُ سَخَتِكَ. What's the difference between this غَذَب and this سَخَت? So it says that this غَذَب is just a condition of the heart. So I could be angry, and I could feel angry towards somebody. But when we say سَخَت, it relates to a harsh vengeance that lasts and impacts. So as Shaykh Osama would say, this is the scary, you know, scary hadith, the scary line, right? That Allah is telling us here, like where Imam Ali is telling us here, that we're seeking refuge from something that's serious. It's a punishment that's going to last and it's going to impact. Sometimes we forget that. Ayatollah Misbah says about this line, he says, a king doesn't punish like a regular person, especially after giving many chances. Ya Allah. Okay. Some of the verses of the Holy Quran, we have in our hadith that when the Holy Prophet read them or when they came down, he would cry. Hazrat Bibi Fatima alayhi salam would pass out. Imam Ali alayhi salam would hear them and be overcome with grief, overcome with fear. Right? But look at us. SubhanAllah, yeah, man, I'm going to handle that hellfire. It's all good, you know. You know. Brothers and sisters, we got to get serious. Okay, this is an opportunity these next 3 months. Allah's given us a second chance. Is He going to give us a third chance? He's given us a 20th chance, someone like me. Is He going to give me a 21st? We don't know. We've seen the last 2 years. We don't know if we have another day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says about Prophet Yunus, he says, Allah withdrew His special attention from Yunus for the blink of an eye. For what? For a tark al-awla. For not doing something that was better. It wasn't that Yunus alayhi salam did a sin. No. He did something that wasn't the best thing. And in, I believe it's Surah Safat, brothers can correct me, it says that he would have stayed in the belly of the beast, in the belly of the whale, excuse me, until ila yawm yubathun, until the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Now, who is more worthy of reciting Zikr Yunusiyah? Prophet, who is the one that needed it more? Prophet Yunus or us? La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimeen, fastajabna lahu najaynahu min al-gham, wa kathalika nunji al-mu'mineen. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-dhalimeen. I was amongst the wrongdoers. Right? I know, I'm much more in need of that. This is our chance, brothers and sisters. These next few days, these next few weeks, these next few months, this is our chance. Are we going to get it back? You know? Picture the scene, okay? Astaghfirullah. Ali, get help me out. Okay, this all came up at once. Alhamdulillah. Picture the scene, okay? Picture what scene? This next line, it says, Ilahi, إن كنت غير مستحيل لرحمتك فأنت أحل أن تجود علي بفضل سعتك. It says, my God, should I be unworthy of your mercy, you are worthy of showing me generosity out of the grace of your bountiness. إن كان قبه ذنب من عبدك فليحسن أعفو من عندك. Right? إلهي كأني بنفسي واقع واقفة بين يديك وقد أذلها حسن التوكل عليك. Okay, so it says, oh Allah, my God, I figure to myself, I see myself standing in front of you, my soul covered by the shade of my tawakkul, my trust in you, and you treat me as is worthy of you, and you cover me with your pardon. Okay, brothers and sisters, picture this scene. You're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you don't, it's going to happen all at once, right? There's a story of the Holy Prophet. He brought the people in front of him, and he had three sticks. And he put these three sticks out there. And he said, what are these three sticks? They said, Allah and His Prophet know better. He said, the first one is you. The second one is death. The third one is your hopes. Something like this. I might be misstating that. But basically saying that death is going to come to you before you finish everything you want to finish. You're still going to have that to-do list for the next day. Death's coming. It's not waiting around. It's not knocking on your door and asking for permission. Okay, so just imagine that, hey, God forbid it happens right now, this instant. Where are you now? You're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You've been brought guilty. You've been brought in chains. And what are these chains? These chains are your own sins. These chains are your own words. These chains are my own words. They're my own actions. Okay? Brothers and sisters, the best thing that we can do is not sin. The next best thing we can do is admit that we sinned. Let's not go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as arrogant people, as people who have left this world with arrogance in our heart. Right? We have to be able to admit to our sins. We have to be able to admit to our shortcomings. This is the first, when somebody's sick, when somebody has a problem, an alcohol problem, a drug problem, whatever it is, the first step, what do they say it is? Admitting it. You got to admit it. I got to admit it that I'm sick spiritually, that I have a problem. And we're all sick. We're all sick. We all have ways to go. We all can improve. Right? This is what Imam Khomeini was saying when he says Imam Sadiq doesn't read this munajat, say, you know, I'm Imam Sadiq. No, he's reading it because he understands who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So he's reading it with the tears in his eyes. Okay? How can we build this trait practically? You're like, man, you're talking a lot of good stuff. Give me something practical that I can go home with. How can I build this trait to get this arrogance out of my heart? Okay? It's got to happen right now, right here. With who? With the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't tell you how many times I'm dealing with individuals who are having marriage problems, and this is the trait that's holding them back. So one side wants counseling, the other side's like, man, we don't have any problems. What are you talking about? Like, I don't have me have a problem, you know? Or with your children or my children, you know, when we're raising our voices to them, when we're not doing tarbiyah the way that Ahlul Bayt have advised us to tarbiyah, or we're not treating one another the way that the mu'mineen should be treating each other, right? And then what we can't admit it. We can't, you know, me? Oh, I pronounced something wrong? No, I couldn't have pronounced something wrong. I'm the one with the clothes on. You know, brothers and sisters, we got to check ourselves, okay? I'm going to skip the next story. And I already mentioned one reason we talked about why the infallibles, they ask for forgiveness, they plead. We talked about that. But I just want to give a story to kind of drive that home. And, you know, there's a story that says that, you know, Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul, the son of Imam Khomeini, he says, I saw my father one day and he was crying profusely. And I came to know, I said, I've never seen him cry like this. And I came to know is that he missed, you know, the night prayer. You know, you see, how are we when we miss a regular daily prayer, right? Aito Saadat Parvar, who was the teacher of Aito Tahriri and he was a student of Allama Tabatabai. Aito Saadat Parvar says that, you know, he missed the night prayer once in his life. Once. And he says, as long as I exist, which is forever, I will be regretful because of what I gave up for missing that one night prayer. See, brothers and sisters, the awliya, they understand what's at stake. Sometimes, someone like myself, we don't. We just go through life, alhamdulillah, one day to the next. Look at how some of our greats, look at how one of our maraji, he reads the same line of Munajat Shabaniya, look at what happens to him. Can't hit the lights.
كأني بنفسي واقفة بين يديك وقد أضلها وحسن توكلي عليك فقلت ما أنت أهله وتغمدت في بعفك ودبر إن شاء الله خدا يمتخل نور مشمولين فقرية مناجات شعبان هي قرار بده
See, the leader here is picturing that scene. He's seeing himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's a marja. He's someone who, beyond just being a marja, he has entire government bodies who are responsible for looking at his actions to make sure that he is still qualified for the position of being the leader. Right? They're looking to make sure he's not doing any major sins or minor sins. Right? But his own muraqabah is such that he sees himself as someone who has shortcomings in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he sees the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just going to finish up in about 10 minutes here. Brothers and sisters, here, this next line, it says, my God, just the first full paragraph here, my God, I have wronged my own soul in neglecting to take proper care of it. Woe to it if you should not forgive it. فَلَحَ الْوَيْلِ إِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَهَا. Okay, brothers and sisters, sometimes when we sin, we have this feeling that, you know what, alhamdulillah, I'm still a Muslim, alhamdulillah, I'm still a follower of Ahlul Bayt, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm still praying and these kinds of things. Okay, yeah, you know, I do a little sin with my eye, I do a little sin with my ears, it's okay, you know. What we fail to understand is that when we sin, we're actually choosing misguidance. How? Let's say that you're at 100% tawheed, 100% nabuwah, 100% imamah. And now you look at something you shouldn't have looked at. You say something you shouldn't look. Say, what our hadith tell us, what our ulama tell us, is that now you're down to, let's say, 99%. Now you're down to 98%. Now you're down to 60%, God forbid. Right? It's our sins that lead us to misguidance. Okay? How is it that people in history, if you look at someone like Zubair, someone was one of the closest of the closest, the elite of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of the Holy Prophet. Imam Ali in Nahjul Balagha, he says, كان زبير رجل منا أهل البيت حتى نشع ابنه. And says, Zubair was amongst us, the Ahlul Bayt, until his son came. How can someone like that end up going to war with Imam Ali alayhi salam? If it happened to him, it can happen to me. If it can happen to him, it can happen to you. Right? We're not playing around here. We only get one chance, brothers and sisters. Okay? There's a story of a Talib al-Ilm, a student of the Hawza, who was at a wedding. And basically, you know, at this wedding, there was some peer pressure, family pressure, you know, we've all went through it, to dance. And so what does he do? He gets up and he danced, you know, he committed a haram action there. Okay? And we see slowly he started to go, you know, spiritually, have a spiritual fall. He went to a teacher and he said, you know, what's going on? Why did this happen? And this teacher actually narrated the story and he said that, you know, I told him, look in what you've done. Look at what you've done, right? This is something especially true, for example, with the night prayer. See, with the night prayer, it's very clear from, you know, the words of the Ahlul Bayt and the words of our ulama that if we're having trouble with the night prayer, we have to look at what we've done, that we've lost this risk, that we've lost the tawfiq. And I'm saying this because I'm talking to a crowd of believers like yourself. Now, the word wail in this line, one translation is what's given here. Woe to it, woe to my soul, if you don't forgive it. Right? You are everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm nothing. But what Ayatul Tahriri says is also that wail is the name of a well in the hellfire. And its usage here is actually signifying a fall into ghafla or heedlessness. Right? Brothers and sisters, right now, I haven't seen anybody sin. You haven't seen me sin in this half an hour, in this 39 minutes that we've been together, okay? Because we are cognizant of the presence of one another, right? It's the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we're cognizant of Allah's presence, we're not going to sin. Our problem is that we become ghafil. Right? We say, okay, hey, when I'm speaking to my sister like this, my brother like this, my husband, my wife, my parents, we don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being more present than those family members in the room. He's closer to us than our jugular vein. He's closer to us than that person that we're speaking to. We don't see it, right? It's from our ghafla. إلهي لم يزل برك علي أيام حياتي فلا تقطع برك عني في مماتي. This is a long conversation, okay? If I die, when I die, you know, whenever Allah chooses that time for me, you know, make sure this is on my gravestone, inshallah. You know, Sadiq, Sayyid Sadiq's here, my family, you guys can make sure. This line, my God, you have never ceased your kindness to me through the days of my life. So do not cut off your kindness toward me in the hour of my death. Brothers and sisters, just reflect on your own life. What blessings have you had? Parents, family, friends, opportunities, the tawfiq of being near great ulama, the tawfiq of being in a city that on a Wednesday night, Munajat Shabin, he has discussed, subhanAllah. What tawfiq have you had? Health, right? Look at the neglected blessings that we have. And we don't have time to discuss all of these, but, you know, I told Mujahidi, he says that, his teacher also, Saad Parvar, he said that if you just ponder on showers, you would read two rakat shukr, salat, prayer, two units of prayer for saying thanks to Allah every time you took a shower. These are blessings we never even think about even once in our life to say thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, where he was passing by a paralyzed leper, you know, like a paralyzed someone with really bad COVID for today's, you know, language, right? Nobody wants to come close to this person. And he sees this person is thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for keeping him away from trials that he gave to all of the people. He said, thank you, Allah, for keeping away the trial that you've given to all these people. And Prophet Isa says, what's this trial? And he says, the trial of disbelief. Right? How thankful should we be, brothers and sisters? Right? We should be spending all of tonight in sujood just to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing that we're still on Islam. Okay? And the effects of ungratefulness, right? لَأَنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَأَنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنِّي أَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٍ. Right? Those punishments are going to come, right, if we're not thankful. So we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of His blessings. How can we do shukr? Just real quick. Sometimes say, okay, look, I want to be grateful to Allah. How can I do shukr? What do the teachers tell us? They say number one is recognition. Recognize the blessing. Number two, recognize the giver of the blessing. Okay? Recognize the blessing like we talked about and recognize, hey, this clean water is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This tawfiq that I'm still in Islam is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now next, we have to give thanks with our words, with our actions, and most importantly, with our heart. Right? You start with the word, and it moves its way to the heart. Now the lowest level, or the lower level, is to not commit a sin with this blessing. Allah has given you an eye, right? The least you do is don't commit a sin. Right? He's given you this for a purpose. Don't commit a sin with it. But the higher level is that we use the blessing to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By looking at our parents with love, by looking at the Holy Quran. You just think about it as when you give your son a gift. You know, I give my 5-year-old, you know, Legos. You know, he's going to sit around and he's going to build those Legos and he's going to thank me, he's going to hug me. Right? I give my 2-year-old the Lego and he's going to try to eat it. You see what I'm saying? He doesn't appreciate that blessing. He doesn't have the capacity to appreciate that blessing. The same goes for us. You want a higher blessing. You're happy where you are, but you don't want to be stagnant. You want to get to that next level. What's wrong with you that you can't see Imam Mahdi? Why? People are seeing Imam Mahdi right now in the world. Why can't I? What's wrong with me that I can't see him? I want this blessing, Ya Allah. What's wrong with me that I can't appreciate the sweetness of salah? What's wrong with me? Right? Allah has given me that capacity as a human. But I have to appreciate the blessings that I have. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. He's going to increase them. Okay, this is his spiritual law. Now how do you know you have done shukr? You say, I want to do shukr, but how can I check myself? Okay? When you realize you can never do enough shukr. When you realize that there's nothing that we can do, we can just say subhanAllah. Okay, when we really realize that. Okay. Now this last page, we're going to skip it in the interest of time. Let's go straight to take-home points. Number one, brothers and sisters, we're trying to grow. We talked about growth, okay? Spiritual growth in these next few months. Okay, this is the chance. We're preparing for it today so that we're not those, you know, Laylatul Qadr scrollers, Instagram scrollers, that we're like, okay, hey, what do I got to do tonight? Let's get this done. Okay, it's not going to happen. You're trying to lift 300 pounds, you know, and you haven't prepared. We're trying to prepare, okay? Make amends so you have a foundation to grow. Before you grow something, you got to make sure the soil is fertile, okay, that you have a capacity to grow as much as you can there. If I see some land here, and like inside of it is, for example, you know, I buried a basketball, you know, the plant is not going to grow as well. I got to dig that basketball out of there. Okay? That's what we need to do. How? What do you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Prayers, fast, khums, repentance. Look, you might not get it all done, but let's at least start. Let's make a schedule. Let's say, hey, look, over the next X amount of years, I want to get caught up on my prayers that I've missed. Let's get back to where I can grow. Okay? The next thing is, what do you owe the people? This is something that we forget. Unfortunately, we have this thinking that someone who's religious is someone who's on the musalla, he's praying and he's fasting. But what about how we treat people? This was how the Ahlul Bayt looked and basically saw, you know, obviously we have the importance of the ahkam, of course, it's got its own place. But what about how we treat people? Right? Have you hurt someone? Are you upset with someone? Have you been hurt with someone? Right? If we've been hurt with someone, that's hurt sometimes is what's holding us back spiritually, that we haven't forgiven, that we haven't let go, that we haven't become the bigger person. Okay. Next point to take home tonight is that our only hope for salvation is spiritually fleeing to Him, the Harabto that we talked about, Harabto, on His terms, right? So all this New Age spirituality, right? Mindfulness and this and that and all these things, you know, some of them may have some benefits. Brothers and sisters, we have the Qur'an, we have the Ahlul Bayt, we have the Ulama, we have the Urafa, right? We have the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. We have the path forward. We have Munajat Sha'baniyah. Okay? We got to come back to Allah on His terms. Okay? Doing our wajibat, staying away from the Muharramat. Third point, be thankful in word and deed. Right? If we want to take advantage, if we want those spiritual blessings, let's start off by being thankful for what we have so that we can get more, inshallah. The final point is to feel His presence. Right? If we feel Allah's presence everywhere, if we're more cognizant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the room than we are of one another, we will see that our sins are going to go down exponentially. Okay. Finally, I want to give an exercise, some homework, inshallah. If I haven't wasted your time tonight, inshallah, we'll see each other next week. So I want you to try something between now and next week, and that is to try to be in wudu. Right? Try to be in wudu. Now, there's a three-step process that we can go through to implement this. Now, obviously, depending on your circumstances, maybe we can't do it this week, and can do it another week, whatever it is. But try your best to be in wudu this week, if you can do it. Right? So, one is motivation. We need to have the motivation. So the Holy Prophet says, always have wudu, so Allah gives you a long life, and at death you are counted amongst the martyrs. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the one who sleeps with wudu, his bed is counted as a masjid. Other benefits that we see in our hadith, forgiveness of sins, granting needs, increasing sustenance, going on. You guys can, I'm not hitting the button. Okay. Okay, so there's so many benefits of wudu, okay? But we also need a realistic plan, okay? How are we going to go about this? Okay, so we have to remind ourselves, maybe put something in the washroom, you know, to remind you, hey, look, this is the week of wudu. I'm going to make wudu after when I use the washroom afterwards. And then we have to do accountability, do muhasabah. Okay, so check yourself at night. Okay, tomorrow's Thursday. Thursday, hey, I did it once, and I couldn't do it the rest of the day. I just forgot. Okay, alhamdulillah, I did it once. You know, the next day, let's check it. Make sure we're getting better. Let's work towards it. Okay? And if we follow this, we'll see that when it comes to other good traits, when it comes to getting rid of other bad traits, inshallah, we can follow a similar path. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra, for the sake of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to give us the tawfiq and the blessings to take full advantage of this month of Rajab, to take full advantage of the month of Sha'ban, and of course, the holy month of Ramadan. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
حسن سيد, please another loud salawat. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining once again. Inshallah, just a reminder, then inshallah we can benefit from Sayyid Ali again next week, Wednesday, doors open at 7 o'clock. And inshallah, same thing for this Friday, inshallah, as we commemorate and celebrate the birth, the wilada of Imam Al-Jawad alayhi salam, and the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. So inshallah, we hope to see you this Friday and next Wednesday, inshallah. Both of the programs, doors will open at 7 o'clock. Thank you again for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah, laysa liwaqa'atiha kadhibah. خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون.